Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to The Morning Beat. Thank you so much for being here. We have a great show planned for you today. We're going to kick off the morning with an update from our very own President Donald J. Trump. I can't even say his name anymore because I don't want to say it anymore. Hopefully, we won't be saying it in a few more months.
That's right.
But if the post office and Donald Trump have anything to say, we will be saying his name for four more years. Ooh, this post office story.
What happened this week? Literally, I was in Vegas filming with our Trump, John T. Domenico, and he goes, Michaela, I wish this was a joke, but I think that we should go outside and steal a mailbox. I said, why would we do that? He goes, because that's literally what he's doing right now.
See the photo out of Wisconsin of all the mailboxes have been taken off the streets
and
stacked up, and the counters, the sorters are being shut down.
That was what he was referencing.
The Postmaster General is a big donor of Donald Trump. Like, we've seen this coming for a bit. We didn't know it was going to escalate this quickly. We're going to dig into that a little bit later in the show. We've also got Samuel Garrett Pate, our political expert, on the line in the next hour because this is the DNC. It's finally happening this week. It kicks off today, so we're going to be covering that all week for you, bringing in political experts throughout the week to have conversations, the highlights, some of the big talks that are going on, the keynotes that will be given, big names. Obviously, you've got the Clintons. You've got, you know, Barack Obama and Michelle. We've also got Joe Biden, and we're going to hear from Kamala Harris later on in the week. So we've got a really, really exciting week for Democrats this week. So we'll be updating you on that as that progresses. And then we're also having some really interesting conversations today. There's a story coming up in about 30 minutes from right now talking about what will happen when we run out of storage space for all of our data.
Well, there's a lot of details to this story.
Yeah, and it's really actually more detailed than I expected. We're saying maybe it might be a couple hundred years from now, but what will that world look like?
Mm-hmm.
All of our information is out there somewhere. It takes energy and it takes things that produce energy to store it.
Yeah.
What does that look like? What is our world going to look like as we put everything into the cloud?
Yeah. Well, listen, there's like things being made in space. Like, will there just be a whole life now in space? Will all our everything just go there? I mean, it's a world that, do you remember? I don't know if you remember this, but when it was Y2K.
Oh, yeah.
I think I was 10.
Oh, God.
I was a child. And we had to write what we thought.
I was in college.
Actually, no. I think I was younger. I think it was like maybe 7 or 8. And we had to write what the world would look like in 2000.
Yeah.
And of course, it was only like a few years before. And I was like, there will be robots and cars. I mean, it was like a whole thing.
Do you remember
thing.
Conan O'Brien used to do a segment called In the Year 2000. In the year 2000.
Oh, wow. What did he say? What was it?
They would just make fun of all the things that they thought were going to happen by the year 2000. Then all of a sudden it happened. And then none of that was
Nothing
real.
Happened.
We thought we were going to be living like the Jetsons.
Oh, yeah. We were like, happy 2000 New Year, and then everyone like went back to their regular programming.
We thought the world
the
was going to blow up.
Yeah,
we all went to dinner at a buffet because we couldn't
Not
get into
buffet.
Red Lobster in Lima, Ohio. I remember it vividly. But we went to Ryan's buffet, I think, on Y2K. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, than about 30 minutes from right now. But before we get there, it's a big weekend in news, Michaela Gordon. What do you have for
us? All right, babe. Well, the Democratic National Convention does kick off today. The completely virtual event will play out among four stage setups in New York City, Los Angeles, Milwaukee, and Wilmington, Delaware, and will culminate with the formal nomination of former Vice President Joe Biden and his newly minted vice presidential running mate, Senator Kamala Harris. Usually, these conventions are over-the-top affairs with hours of programming. But experts say this year's scaled-down versions, the DNC will only air 2 hours of primetime programming a day, could have a long-term impact on how conventions are held. It's so wild to me that this is how we are doing it. Everything is virtual.
Conventions are so weird and outdated anyways. All you're looking for is a couple of sound bites to run the press cycle for the next 24 hours, and they can get those this way.
Yeah, you're right. I do think there's something about the energy being there.
Absolutely.
And it ramping you up.
I don't think this is a permanent change by any means, but it's the safe and the smart choice.
Absolutely. All right, you guys, well, let's get into a little weather. It's going to be a high of 114 in Phoenix today, 85 in Seattle. It'll be 85 in Atlanta, 84 in Baltimore, 76 in Buffalo, and it's raining in Chicago with a high of 78. Now hit us with a vibe of the day.
Those who can't change their minds can't change anything. So if you've had a negative mindset, I've been guilty of this a little bit lately. Today's Monday. It's a new week. It's a new opportunity to start fresh. Change your mind. Start there and see what happens in your life.
I love it.
Also, we've got something really cool happening right now here at Channel Q and Radio.com. Children and their families are going to bed hungry. We're not okay with that. So we have an easy way for you to help feed local students and their families. All you have to do is text the word NEED to 76278 to give a buck and put food in the mouth of a hungry kid and their loved ones. Just a dollar makes a huge difference.
It's so easy to do.
Yeah, head over to WeAreChannelQ.com to find out more. Also, follow our social media. We are Channel Q. Also, Michaela Gordon underscore AJ Gibson. We're going to be heading down there tomorrow to feed.
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so,
it'll be great.
Yep, follow along and give.
All right, you guys. Well, speaking of Trump, we have our very own Trump, John DiDomenico, calling in to talk about how he feels about Kamala Harris becoming the VP and what he has to say about showerheads. We'll have that coming up next.
Do you remember where you were when Y2K happened?
I absolutely do. I was at Summer Gruber's house for
Summer Gruber. Not
she
Summer
just,
Gruber.
Listen, I'll give you the whole shebang, honey. She had just gotten her bangs cut.
Okay.
And it was when you were still curling with the little curling iron. Your sisters probably had them.
Yes.
And we'd burn our foreheads.
Uh-huh.
We were old enough. We were doing some up, some down ponies. Mm-hmm. And she cut her bangs and they looked horrible. But it was just...
She went into the millennium?
That's how she went into the millennium. And then we all had sunglasses on that had two, and then the glass part was and then and we kept singing Prince's We're Gonna Party Like It's 1999. Mm-hmm. And then when it was 2000, we did Spice Girls.
Just for fun, O is a letter of the alphabet, zero is a number.
You know what I was saying.
Two,
it's a Monday.
No, my friends and I, we tried to go. We got all dressed up. We got our fanciest outfits on. It was our freshman year of college. We all came home. My buddy had a house that he was house sitting on the lake for the week. We were all partying there and getting wild. So we thought we were going to be adults. We were going to be cool kids, right? We go to Lima, Ohio to go to Red Lobster for a fancy dinner. We're meeting our friends. Nobody had cell phones at the time. So we're like, hey, we'll have multiple cars. We'll all meet there. Probably 10 or 12 of us going there. We all get there and realize a little thing called a reservation. We had no idea what a reservation was. We were stupid kids.
God.
And none of us could get in.
Oh,
so half the crew drove home. The other half of us went to Ryan's Buffet. My last meal of the millennium was Ryan's Buffet.
What'd you eat?
Who knows? Who knows what I eat? Probably mashed potatoes and gravy and like some flank steak.
Sounds good.
But I ask you this because that's the last time I remember thinking technology was going to like end of the world.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the ball dropping thinking the world's going to blow up or something. I was terrified.
I remember people stocking up the way that they did in the beginning of COVID, getting waters, canned foods.
Toilet paper.
There, I think was Sally Jesse Raphael still on?
Probably.
And I think she was bringing on Y2K
experts, of course.
Yes, I don't
everywhere.
Know if it was Maury or Sally Jesse. I think Geraldo was already off.
And remind you, all that was about was basically
She was, and she brought on Y2Kers.
Yeah, they all were doing it. It was a big deal.
Yes.
And I remember it was because the idea was that computers were not going to be able to reset.
Right.
And I remember looking back now, I'm like, why was that such a big deal? Like, why did I think the world was going to literally blow up?
Well, we didn't know.
Like, maybe, the lights were going to shut down and everything was going to stop working. That made sense. What did you think, Justin?
Well, I think the reason why they were afraid that the world was going to blow up because the nuclear silos were tied to those computers that couldn't reset.
Whoa. Oh. I didn't know that part.
But you were my age, Justin, when that happened. What'd you think? Nothing? You were just partying?
I mean, my parents were a little bit worried, but then again, we were, in sixth grade at the time? So
I didn't feel, no.
Okay,
as a freshman in college, I was like, I'm not even out yet. Let me come out first.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the next big thing we need to concern ourselves with, okay? digital content and the moment that the Earth will no longer be able to sustain its digital data.
Uh-huh.
This sounds silly, but the year that experts have said that this will happen, 2245.
Oh my God, get now, away listen, from me. I'm not reporting on this.
That's a long time away from now.
It's literally over 200. I'm not even going to be alive.
But they're calling this the next information catastrophe. Now, what will happen at that point is there will be actually more digital bits on the planet than there are atoms. Think about that.
Mm.
Atoms are the basic, like, the building blocks of what we are as a planet, as humans. Everything is made of atoms, right? So the idea is that at by that point, the amount of energy that will need to be created to store these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
That requires electricity. That requires power plants. That requires all sorts of stuff that need to be built to store this stuff in the virtual cloud, as it is.
I think Elon Musk is sort of trying to do that already, right? Would that be like, isn't he trying to create room and space as we speak? You know that he's been going to space. He wants to start filming there. He wants to start, he wanted to provide free Wi-Fi or something from space. Like he's really smart and he's constantly on it. And I feel like this would be something in his lane. However, for me, I'm going to be honest, literally don't care. I'm not even going to be around 250 years from now.
You don't care about your great-great-grandchildren?
I mean, I do, but like, we're trying to get through 2020,
also,
to
Justin,
be honest.
Justin, low-key, should we be concerned?
No.
Well, or do you think the technology will advance so much before then?
When you say it exceeds the amount of atoms on the planet, that kind of seems like, you know, science fiction, science fact kind of stuff.
But that's wild though, right?
Yeah.
Because we see a lot of these movies that are dystopian futures where, like, whether it's Tron or these other types of films where everything is technology based and it comes down to, like, the thing that is important then is control of power and energy and things like that. And it seems so far off. But if you think about it, every single science fiction film we've watched growing up has come true to some degree.
I don't relate to that at all. I've never seen a science fiction film.
Watch an episode of Star Trek. Watch an episode of Star Trek. Back in the day,
Star Trek.
In the 1960s, Star Trek was doing things like taser guns. They have those now. They were doing flip phones and iPhones. That's happening now. They were doing iPads. That's all real
now.
What
have they done that we haven't done yet in Star Trek?
Well, they
teleportation.
Teleportation. And also scanning your body and just healing it. With like this little scanner thing. We're not quite there yet.
Healing what though? Like
ailments, whatever's going on. Now we just take like pills. So we got to get there.
So you think Star Trek has just been a finger on the pulse?
Yeah. I mean, they were literally, they had interracial relationships on Star Trek in the 1960s, decades before that became a thing that was even like acceptable here in the United States.
What are these people called? Trekkies?
Trekkies.
Is that the one where you Trekkers. Is that the one where you do your hands? You do, I'm a Vulcan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Live long and prosper.
Yeah.
Live long and prosper.
Yeah, Star Wars is the other one.
Not familiar with either. So
also dead on.
Okay, so that's
but Star Trek, I think, is more in line with. Yeah.
So you're saying that The Simpsons, Star Trek, and Star Wars has really calculated our future.
You just brought Simpsons into this.
They deserve to be here.
They've predicted a lot.
They have predicted a lot.
Didn't they predict murder hornets?
I think they predicted everything.
Yeah,
they predicted Trump.
Donald Trump, all
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, listen, fine. Well, then you know what? If you need to know anything about what's going to happen in the next 200 years, just go watch Star Trekkie.
Star Trekkie.
Live long and prosper, guys. And if you need me, I'll be in my spaceships.
Best of luck to our great-great-great-grandchildren.
And live long.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Is mental health. It's very important to us here at The Morning Beat, especially on Mondays, because I feel like we go through it on the weekends. It's either really great or really not so great.
Listen, I went through it this weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How are you? You were in Vegas. So I took you to the airport Friday.
Okay, you were so
cute. So let me just tell you, Michaela,
no,
let me just set the scene.
Because
Michaela asked me earlier in the week to take her to the airport on Friday to go to Vegas to shoot stuff with John, our Donald Trump. And I said, sure, let me know. And then all of a sudden Friday, she's like, so should I just get an Uber? I'm like, oh my God, I forgot. I took a nap after work. So I'm like, okay, I'll come get you. I pick her up. I start driving to the airport. And she goes, oh, honey, I think this is the wrong way. I'm like, no, LAX is that way. She goes, I think you should take the Canyon. I go, no, LAX is that way. She goes, oh no, honey, I booked a flight out of Burbank. I was like,
but
this.
But I thought I made that clear.
Justin, did
Justin,
she make that
make
clear?
Clear?
We mentioned the possibility once.
No. She mentioned that she was looking at Burbank. I don't know if she confirmed it, but she said she was looking at Burbank.
So Burbank is a small little airport in the valley. It turned into a 2-hour round trip to get this girl to the airport. You're welcome.
Okay, first of all, I will say this. Friendships come and go. There are other friendships that you love.
Oh, come
but the
on.
Friends that take you to the airport while they've got a bellyache,
I do
mind
have a bellyache.
You, that's your best friend.
Can I tell you
friend.
A secret? On the way home after 2 hours in the car, I drove through a McDonald's, got
fries. Did you end up going to McDonald's?
I ate them by myself in the car, but I tried to hide them from a meal.
Why?
Because I haven't had them in so long.
They're not as good as I remember
as a
kid.
You did say that.
There's so much better food to eat in the Valley.
They're just so greasy.
You come in with McDonald's every morning.
No. Don't you even go there. Don't you even go there. No.
You have your huge McDonald's cup.
On occasion, he does.
Maybe once a week. If that.
This is true.
Okay, well, let's...
You're going to get me in trouble with my fiancé right now.
I've only seen it a couple times every day.
What I will say... but, you know, I'm really excited, and I think it's a lesson that people need to hear. So, you know, we're going on a vacation, and we can do anything with our vacation.
Yes.
But here, you know, we've been working since January, and for a mental health break, we've been advised to take a vacation. And at first, I was really stressed. I didn't want to do it.
You don't take vacations.
I've never been on a vacation. Like, I've legit...
They've all been working vacations.
If they didn't fly me out to work, I've never gone.
I get that.
So I'm going on vacation, like a real vacation. Not like going anywhere vacation, just like taking time off kind of thing, right? And it kind of stressed me out this weekend because I was like... Oh my God, I feel nervous. Like, what do I do? It gave me some anxiety. Maybe I should work on my other projects. Maybe I should not take the time off.
That's the life of a creator. I saw something this weekend that really spoke to me. It says, planning time off and planning time to rest your mind is so essential if you're a creative type person.
So I get that. Well, so then I had to take a break. I was talking with some of my girlfriends who are artists last night as well. And they said, you... have to take, and I'm saying this for anybody that may just understand this for themselves, you have to take the week off. You have to have vacation. You have to let your mind, you know, settle. And my trainer always says it best. When I started working out with him, I would work out on the days that him and I didn't work out. And he said, Michaela, you have to allow your body to rest. You're not helping yourself by working out every day. I'm training you very hard Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You have to take a break and let your body reset.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought about that. And I said, okay, like we got to do vacation and you got to do a vacation. And Justin, our producer, needs to do vacation.
I have no problem taking vacation.
Yeah, no,
like,
I know.
I'm ready.
I know, but I think that there's a lot of people listening, you know, I don't know.
Well,
maybe
especially
not.
people who still have jobs right now. It's so easy to feel guilty to take time off because so many people are out of work right now. And so I understand that too.
Yeah.
But you can be aware of people's struggles and be supportive of people and do what we can. We're going to feed the homeless tomorrow. Or not even just homeless, it's people struggling right now.
People that had jobs and a life 3 months ago. So that's my word for you guys.
You've earned it, baby.
All right, you guys. Well, joining us in the next hour, our political expert, Samuel Garrett Pate, as we premiere the DNC. It's very different this year, and it's only 2 hours a day. We'll have all those details coming up next.
Coming up this hour on The Morning Beat, we're kicking off the Democratic National Convention today. It's lasting 4 nights. Very different look than other years, but the theme is Uniting America. That is very, very classic. I feel like that theme has probably been used many times over the years, but that is the theme. Today's theme is actually We the People. Kicked off with some big names. We've got Samuel Garrett Pate, our political expert, on the line with us in about 15 minutes, breaking down everything you need to know about day one of the Democratic National Convention. So make sure you stick around for that conversation. I can't imagine. He's got to be so thrilled right now.
He's got to be so excited. I mean, years we've been waiting for this.
Yeah, he actually usually goes to these things.
Yeah, he does. He's the whole reason that I got to meet Kamala Harris.
Ah.
You know, he's the reason that we got to see Pete Buttigieg. Like, he's so invested, so involved, and I'm really excited to have him on. It's been a long time coming.
Now I'm jealous because I have not met either of them. I've seen Kamala speak, though. She spoke at, was it HRC Gala or something last year? I was there.
Oh, I love
that. She and Cory Booker both spoke.
Oh, yeah.
She's fantastic. But, Michaela Gordon.
Yes,
before we get to Samuel Garrett Pate. What do you have for us in News on the Beat?
Well, there's a lot going on, obviously. So Democrats and several state leaders are pushing back on what they see as the Trump administration's attempt to throttle the U.S. Postal Service to influence the upcoming presidential election. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is calling on the House to return to Washington, likely next weekend, for an unheard of session during presidential convention season to address the concerns. We have a little audio. Let's take a listen.
Do you realize how inaccurate the voter rolls are with just people just moving around, not let alone the people that die off, but sending ballots out just based on a voter roll registration? Anytime you move, you'll change your driver's license,
but
you don't call up and say, hey,
no,
by the way,
I'm re-registered. There's no evidence of widespread voter fraud, though. But there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud. There's no evidence
that there's not either. That's the definition of fraud, Jake.
Okay, so what that was, just for context sake, is that that was the Trump administration not backing down. That was the White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows this weekend talking about voter
fraud. It's on CNN, yeah.
And, you know, it's crazy because it's to know that, like, the president is just going around and taking mailboxes and just trying to cancel USPS.
And shutting down the sorters.
And shutting
and
down.
Putting a friend of his a top donor as the head of the Postal Service. That's wild.
Yeah, it's
and
wild.
Also, if your argument can't be, well, there's no evidence that there's not either. Like, what?
Yeah.
You're going to change the whole thing, shut it down, not give them the $25 billion they've requested for the U.S. Postal Service. And your argument is, well, there's not proof that there's not.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy talk.
That's a really great defense.
Yeah.
There's not proof, there's not. All right, you guys. Well, in other news, the Democratic National Convention kicks off today. The complete virtual event will play out among four stage setups in New York City, Los Angeles, Milwaukee, and Wilmington, Delaware, and will culminate with the formal nomination of former Vice President Joe Biden and his newly minted vice presidential running mate, Senator Kamala Harris. Usually, these conventions are over-the-top affairs with hours of programming, but experts say this year's scaled-down versions, the DNC will only air 2 hours of primetime programming a day, could have a long-term impact on how conventions are held. Now, we did just talk about this, but our political expert, Samuel Garrett-Pate, will be joining us to talk about what we can expect from the DNC today and all week long. Now, let's get into a little bit of weather. It's raining in Chicago with a high of 78. I hate hot and rainy.
I thought you were going to say you hated Chicago.
Love Chicago. Love the bean. It's a high of 78 in Cleveland, 89 in St. Louis, 84 in Pittsburgh today, and it'll be 80 in Norfolk. So it's going to be hot. Hot days
it's
all over.
It's so hot here in Southern California right now.
Listen to me.
It blazing
was 114
hot.
Degrees in Vegas this weekend.
Yep.
To go from my car to Lisa's mother's house, I had to take a nap. It was so hot. It was like draining.
Well, it's funny here in Southern California, we often forget. I forget. I've lived here 13 years. I forget every year. By about early August, I'm like, God, we didn't really have summer this year. And then August and September are blazing hot every year.
And you're like, here we are.
Our summer comes late.
This is it.
Late bloomer we are.
All right, give us a vibe of the day.
All right, this is for anybody who's having like a bit of a mental block lately, or maybe you're just struggling to get past your own negative thoughts and emotions. Listen, you're not alone. I've been going through it lately as well. Here is your vibe of the day. Those who can't change their minds can't change anything. Start with your mind. Say some positive things about yourself or about your life or your surroundings, what's going on. Write it down. Speak it out loud.
There's a lot of positive things going
on, though,
especially here, even with us and Entercom.
Of course.
I think it's something about helping feed families across the U.S.
Well, we're doing that tomorrow, actually. We're doing it every single day. So right now, children and their families all over Southern California are going to bed hungry. We're not okay with that. So radio.com and Channel Q have an easy way for you to help local families and their children in need. Text the word need to 76278 to give a buck, put food in the mouths of hungry kids and their parents.
Listen, no baby should go hungry, especially here in the U.S. when there's so much food being wasted. I mean, we've just seen.
We're going to rush down there after the show tomorrow morning and feed some local families. We'll post everything on our social media, I'm sure. But head over to wearechannelq.com or follow us on social media at wearechannelq to keep up with us. And also, if you can give a buck, give a buck.
That's right. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, our political expert, Samuel Garrett-Pate, is joining us as we premiere the DNC and what we can expect coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Now, this is like Christmas morning, I can imagine, for many Democrats. It's the start of the DNC, and we've got one of our favorite Democrats on the line. He is from Equality, California. He's our political expert. He's a dear friend of Channel Q. Please welcome Samuel Garrett-Pate. Sam, are you excited? How are you feeling? What's the energy like?
I'm excited. We've been waiting for this for so long. It's different. It's unique. It's 2 hours.
Yeah.
We're all, you know, used to conventions lasting from midday, especially here on the West Coast, midday, late into the evening. I don't know if you remember, but both 4 years ago when Hillary Clinton was the nominee and then 8 years ago when Barack Obama was fighting for his reelection, Bill Clinton both times gave speeches that were longer than most people would have anticipated, but, certainly kept us all on the edges of our seats.
I just remember Hillary Clinton watching the balloons come down at her and looking so mesmerized by the balloons.
Listen, I think that although we'll miss those moments, this might be the most effective way to do something like this because you get 2 hours to get everything you need to do. I mean, you remember when you were in school and things would just like draw out and you were like over it and tired and then your brain gets foggy. 2 hours is perfect. And I think now more than ever, we need to be so sharp and beat Donald Trump.
Certainly it's going to reach more people, right? I think some of us political nerds would sit there with it, even in the background when we were doing other things throughout the day. But most Americans really are only going to tune in for about 2 hours at the very most anyway. So I think what they've done is really packed a bunch of really inspiring, interesting content into 2 hours each night, not just hearing from your regular elected officials, but they're going to have musical performances later this week by The Chicks, Billie Eilish, Jennifer Hudson. They have real American people.
Well, that's
tomorrow. Tomorrow, when folks across the country cast their ballots to nominate Joe Biden and Kamala Harris officially and elect them as the nominees of the Democratic Party for president and vice president, you're going to hear from not just elected officials across the country, not just delegates, but average everyday Americans who are, who view this election as so critical to our futures, speaking about why they support Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Well, I think that's so important. I think it's mm-hmm. so important that they show a diverse cross section of America, not just elected officials, like you said. The theme of this entire week is uniting America. Today's theme, though, is We the People. And on the docket today, some of the names people will recognize. We got Bernie Sanders, John Kasich of Ohio, who is a Republican and I'm very familiar with him. He's from my home state of Ohio, mm-hmm. very critical of Donald Trump. We've also got Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who is many thought might be on the short list for Biden's VP. We've also got Representative Jim Clyburn of South Carolina, and he really kind of helped turn the tide for Joe Biden, gave him that big comeback win in South Carolina. And then we've also got, of course, Michelle Obama. And then also, this is really cool.
Wait, can we just say for one second, will it be so nice to see Michelle Obama
yes!
again? Like, it's like home. It's like literally watching your mom, and you're like, hey, mom, you're home.
Yeah, it will be nice. Because also, as you said, though, we've got a 57-member youth choir assembled across the country right now who are going to be performing. Yeah. Are they going to do that via Zoom? Like, how's that going to work? Do you have any idea?
You know, it's a mix of live content and pre-recorded, which is obviously different from most years, right? Normally, this is all done live from the convention stage. Obviously, coronavirus making that impossible. But speaking of coronavirus, you're going to hear from two of the governors who have had the highest profiles in fighting coronavirus in their state. As you said, Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan, who was, thought to be on Vice President Biden's shortlist for vice presidential nominee. Also, Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York. Later this week, you'll hear from our governor, Gavin Newsom, on Thursday, the evening that Joe Biden will officially accept the nomination for president of the United States.
So fantastic. I'm kind of curious to hear these speeches, though. Like you said, Bill Clinton can go on and on and on. We've got 2 hours.
He's going to be tomorrow night when you'll also hear from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Wow.
And then what I'm honestly most excited about. So in past years, we've heard from people like Barack Obama, Julian Castro, folks like that who have given the keynote speech.
Well, that
right?
sort of launched Barack Obama's national career
exactly.
years ago. Yeah,
it's traditionally a launching pad to a high profile role or even to be the next nominee for president. Mm-hmm. In the case of Barack Obama, this year they've split it up between folks that they're calling the future of the Democratic Party. That list of elected officials, diverse young elected officials from all across the country, includes three openly LGBTQ elected officials, mm-hmm. Long Beach Mayor Robert Garcia, Pennsylvania Representative Malcolm Kenyatta, and Georgia Representative Sam Parks.
That's what I'm excited about.
Speaking of the Long Beach mayor, I felt so bad. You know, if you're not taking COVID seriously, he just lost his mother and stepmother and stepfather to COVID-19, and he's talking a lot about it. So I wonder if he'll bring that up.
I'm sure he's got some personal stories.
Of course.
Well, really quickly before we get to our next segment, I want to point out how important I think that is, and I'm glad you brought that up, Sam, because the Democratic Party kind of came under fire when Hillary Clinton won the nomination. It felt like to many people that they really just coalesced around one person and really pushed her forward. Mm-hmm. I think it's really smart. It's what the American people want, to show diversity and to show options.
Yeah,
so I think that's a
wise
choice.
And 4 years ago when we nominated Hillary Clinton, Sarah McBride, my good friend Sarah McBride, who's now running for Delaware State Senator, made history as the first openly trans person to address a major party convention. This year, Danica Rome will speak. She is the first openly trans state legislator in the country. She was elected in Virginia back in 2017, so look out for her as well.
Well, that's major. All right, you guys, well, coming up, if you have not filled out your 2020 census form yet, you may be getting an email. Find out why and all those details coming up with our political expert, Sam Garrett-Pate.
All right, we're joined again by our political expert, Samuel Garrett-Pate, as the DNC kicks off the... It's so weird to say DNC, because it sounds like it could be two different things. The Democratic National Convention kicks off virtually across the country today. We spoke with him just a moment ago about what you can expect from day one and from all week. If you missed the conversation, download our podcast, The Morning Beat, on radio.com on the app. But right now, Sam, we're talking about the census. Now, how are the numbers looking? What do we need to know? What are the dates we need to know?
Well, what's unfortunate is that the numbers aren't where they need to be. You know, we've gotten through what's called the self-response period now, most of the self-response period, which is the period in which people can go online for the first time this year, can complete the census by phone, can complete the census by mail, right? And we've gotten good responses, you know, overall. But we're nowhere near where we need to be. We need every single person living in the United States, right? Keyword, living in the United States, not a citizen of the United States, not a permanent resident of the United States. Everyone living here. That is what the census counts every 10 years. We need everyone to go online, fill out the census. There is so much at stake. Our congressional representatives are determined by how many people fill out the census. So if your community wants more representation in Congress, more people who know you and represent your community, represent your values in Congress fighting for you, then you've got to fill out the census. Because if you're undercounted, if your community's undercounted, if your state's undercounted, which California is at risk of this year, you could lose representation in Congress and have less people who think like you do fighting for you there.
Well,
that's incredibly important.
I never filled out a census, and it wasn't until this year when you told me to do it and the importance of it that I did. You know, we were reminding everybody. But
to be fair, you were 22 the last time.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a pass on
that. Yeah, thank you so much. But the way that you explained it to me that was really beneficial, and maybe it would be for our listeners who are still not so familiar. You know, I live in West Hollywood, and you said, you know, they keep West Hollywood safe and beautiful, and the reason that they're able to do that is because of you filling out your census and them knowing what is in the community and the importance of keeping you safe. And so I feel like that was what really resonated with me, wanting my own little community to be okay. It's also, you know, where our gays are. So I think that it goes so beyond, like you've said, and that was really kind of what resonated with me to make sure I filled it out.
Absolutely. And just talking about 22-year-olds, if you live at home with your parents, right, the way the census is filled out is that each household fills out a census about all the people living in that household. So if you're 22 and you live at home with your parents and your parents filled out your census, you should remind them to, but you're good. If you're 22 and you live alone, you need to fill out the census for yourself and anyone else you're living with. So if that's a roommate, if that's a boyfriend, a girlfriend, for the first time on this census important to our community is the fact that you can identify a same-sex partner in your house. So whether that's, you know, Michaela identifying Lisa, you know, as her same-sex partner unmarried, or someone in a same-sex relationship where they are married, you can identify the other person in your household once you've been married. I'm just sending lots of signals here to Lisa and Michaela.
thank you so much. I will pay you after this. It is still the $50.
Well, it's interesting, Sam, because listen, it's the simplest thing, especially you can go online and do it this year. It's so much easier. But yet only 63.6% of households have responded so far. I was trying to talk to my cousin weeks ago. She has twin babies. And I said, listen, you've got two more humans in your life right now. It's really important that you fill out your census. She's like, I got a lot going on. I'll get around to it eventually. And I just don't understand why, because I'm looking at these numbers too, and I'm hearing that just this last week, a letter was sent to the Senate and House leaders urging them to extend the deadlines. And it sounds like there's bipartisan support on this. So what's happening? Why isn't this moving at the rate we want it to?
Well, the administration is trying to shorten the time period that folks have to fill out the census. As you said, bipartisan members of Congress want to extend that deadline. Here's the thing. If you go online right now, to my2020census.gov. As Michaela can tell you, it takes a couple of minutes at most.
It literally took me two to three minutes.
2 minutes, yeah.
And then you don't have to worry about the deadline, whether it's, you know, whether it's extended or shortened. All you have to do is go online right now to my2020census.gov, fill out your census. I'm not saying this because it's, you know, a chore, right? This is so important to us, and making sure that we have people who think like us, act like us, want to fight for the values that we believe in, fighting for us in Congress, and that our tax dollars come back to our communities. As Michaela said before, you know, living in West Hollywood, you pay money to the federal government. Do you want that money going to somewhere halfway across the country? Or do you want that money that you're paying to the government coming back and helping support your community where you live? The more people who fill out the census in your neighborhood, the more money comes back to you.
Also, super important to point out, and just so we get perfect clarification on this, this information cannot be sent to ICE for anybody who's worried about their legal status in this country, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
The U.S. Census Bureau cannot share any of the information you put on the census with anyone else. The census does not ask about your citizenship, so there's no information that you're putting down about your citizenship, about your status. All it asks is about your name, your birthday, information like that. They just want to know how many people are living in the United States and how old they are, what their race and ethnicity is, so that we can get an accurate picture of what our country looks like and make decisions about funding and about representation in Congress based on the information that the Census Bureau gets back. As you said, again, that information cannot be shared with anyone, not any government agency, not anyone outside of the government. The census is so important to our futures and making sure that our government looks like us, acts like us, and responds to our values.
We adore you, Sam. I love your passion so much.
Thank you so much to our political expert, Samuel Garrett Pate. We are so excited for
DNC. Your holiday week.
That's right.
busy week.
Coming
have
up,
a great week, guys.
You too, babe. Coming up, there's more exciting news. Some of your favorite celebrities have made some major baby announcements, and we have the soon-to-be parents coming up next.
This should come as a surprise to no one, Michaela Gordon. We called this at the beginning of the pandemic. Babies going to be made this whole season. Everybody's stuck at home. People were quarantined for a while.
We said this in March. Mm-hmm. We said there's going to be a new generation of like COVID babies, but they're not going to know what to do.
Let's call them pandemic babies.
Okay, that's better.
Has a better ring to it.
That's okay.
COVID's so daunting.
Yeah, you're right.
Pandemic
I'm like, look at that COVID baby.
If you don't know what pandemic means, it could sound like a fun word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder what they're like. We had baby boomers. We had like all of that. I wonder what this will be called.
Well, let's come up with it.
Okay.
Well, I think on that.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us who's pregnant and what's popping?
Okay. Well, listen, there's a lot of pregnancies. So I think news has already gotten out that Chrissy Teigen is, in fact, with John Legend, expecting their first baby. I mean, their third baby. But you know that the two babies that she had, Luna and Miles, they were IVF. They had a really hard time getting pregnant. She was very open about it. And I love that. I'm currently working with HRC Fertility for mine and Lisa's babies as well. And there's so much that you need to know. It's so difficult if you don't know. And so I'm so happy to be educating not only myself, but our listeners through HRC Fertility. But she said it was totally wild how she found out that she was pregnant. She said, I did the routine pregnancy test you do before surgery because she had her breast implants removed. Mm. And she was like, it said negative, and it was not negative. And after a week after surgery, she took another test and it turned out positive.
Whoa.
So she took the test before her breast implants were going to be removed.
And so she naturally got pregnant.
And she naturally got pregnant.
That's what I say about pandemic. Like, there's always a silver lining, and their schedules were probably so crazy before that affects your body. It really does.
Listen,
all of a sudden,
you've
got this time to like nest and be like in love with each other, and look what happens.
I'm learning so much, and I feel like this has happened a lot. Many women have had to go down IVF or however they've had a baby.
And then they have a baby.
And they do. Mm-hmm. My mother actually tried for years to have me. My mother and father, they could not have a baby. They had a meeting at a fertility place like in a week. And I showed up. She was pregnant with me. So the week before they had to go to the IVF, they were able to naturally have me, and then they have my
so
brother.
So common. Or it's, a lot of people have a child by IVF, or they have twins a lot of times because they get pregnant with multiple, and then all of a sudden they randomly have a miracle baby.
This is Chrissy Teigen. I mean, two beautiful babies, and now a third on the way. Congratulations. But she's not the only one pregnant. Ease Morgan Stewart.
Love her.
Also expecting her beautiful baby girl. Mm-hmm. They just found out that she's having a little girl. And then I don't know if you watched American Idol. I hosted American Idol extra for this season.
After you lost.
After I lost so badly, I hosted my own American Idol after show. And Gabby Barrett was like the Carrie Underwood of the season. This was about 2 years ago. She had a whole love story with one of the contestants. They ended up getting married.
A showmance.
And she's pregnant with their first baby girl.
That's cute.
So it's nice.
It's nice to see American Idol turning out well for some people. That's what I like to see.
Listen to me. I'm just focusing on my own baby plans, okay?
Gives me such hope.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to march down to HR for Fertility after this, and I'm going to say, I'm going to need a star.
HRC, Hillary Rodham Clinton? She's getting people pregnant now, huh? Got it.
that's
her,
what it is.
Her, along with the Human Rights Campaign. They're getting women pregnant across the country.
That's how it goes. I'm going to need a star, baby, or I don't want one at all. Just kidding. I love it. I think it's so exciting when women get pregnant, and I love it. Congratulations. I love sharing the stories, and we'll keep you posted.
I can't imagine being your baby. You're going to be a great mom, but you're going to be an overbearing
mother. There's a TikTok that says, people always ask me when I have baby. I am baby. And I was like, I feel that so hard sometimes.
I see you being a great mom, but I also see you getting jealous of the baby with Lisa. I see you being one of those moms. Like Kenya Moore on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Why did she
got
jealous?
Because her husband was paying more attention to the baby.
Oh my God.
I see that.
I will never get, I'm not worried about getting jealous of my baby. What I'm worried about is people wanting to be around my baby. Like I'm going to be like, everyone stay away from my baby.
Yeah, the pandemic just happened. Get over it.
Yeah, get away from my baby that I don't have yet, but is in heaven right now looking down at me. I hope you're proud of me, baby. Because I'm live on air.
You know babies don't come from storks, right? You do get that part.
I just looked up at heaven. I said, hello, baby. Oh,
so it's in heaven right now.
It's watching mommy. That's where, okay, it's watching mom right now.
Fair enough.
Goodbye. Uncle Age is acting up, baby. All right, you guys, we're coming up. We love Feed Our Families. It's so important, whether you're making your family, feeding your family. And so we have a really great network joining us. Brighter Bites is a really incredible network that's bringing fresh food and vegetables to homes that need it. So we'll be talking with them coming up next.
We have a great hour coming up for you. In about 15 minutes, we're joined by somebody. You know, we're doing our Feed Our Families initiative here at Channel Q and Radio.com. We're speaking to somebody from another organization called Brighter Bites in about 15 minutes. They're located across the country. The gentleman we're speaking with is in Houston, Texas, I believe, bringing fresh produce to people who need it, which is super important, too.
It's so funny because I think this has always been a really big concern in the U.S. They say, I want to eat healthy. You know, I grew up really poor. We really did. I had a single mom. And we really could only afford like fast food and Burger King.
And canned goods.
If my grandma didn't cook, my mom would just take us through the drive-thru. And we know now how unhealthy that is. But then it was always like, well, it's so much more expensive to get healthy food, so it's just easier to do Burger King.
I didn't know that asparagus didn't have to come in a can until I was an adult.
Oh my gosh.
Asparagus was the fancy food, and it was in a can.
I actually didn't know that until today.
Kind of slimy, and it's kind of not really asparagus, but yeah.
Well, it's crazy that here in the U.S., you can't be able to feed your family, even on a budget, with healthy, nutritious foods for those babies' little brains. And so I'm so thankful for Brighter Bites doing that for these families. They definitely deserve all the attention.
A lot of really great opportunities for you to give back to if you're in a position to do so. $1, $5, $20, $100, whatever it is you can give. We have great opportunities all week long for you to help out those in need. So we're speaking with somebody from Brighter Bites in about 15 minutes. Stick around for that conversation. But first, Michaela Gordon, is our election at risk? What's going on in the news?
Listen, there's just always so much going on in the news, but New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern is delaying the country's parliamentary election by 4 weeks after a resurgence of coronavirus in the country. Ardern said she made the decision in the best interests of voters and our democracy, and with assurance from the country's electoral commission that the country could deliver a safe election on the new date, October 17th. Meanwhile, in the U.S., the Chief of Staff and Deputy Chief of Staff at the Centers for Disease Control have both voluntarily resigned. The CDC is also contending with President Trump's unexpected announcement that the agency could deploy teams to assist schools with safely reopening in the fall. Clusters of the disease have already popped up on several college campuses, including the University of North Carolina. At the University of Oklahoma, 9 football players have tested positive as the school moves forward with plans to play during the fall season.
Yeah, President Trump says, oh, the CDC is going to send out teams to clean your schools. And their response was,
Yeah.
Like, what? We didn't know that. Yeah. That's news to us.
Big news.
I mean, how do you just say these things?
He just does.
He just
says things
something.
Like it is what it is. Yeah. So you can't have too high of expectations.
Yikes.
In other news, Democrats and several state leaders are pushing back on what they see as the Trump administration's attempt to throttle the U.S. Postal Service to influence the upcoming presidential election. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is calling on the House to return to Washington, likely next weekend, or for an unheard of sessions during presidential convention season to address the concerns. Democrats also want the new Postmaster General Louis DeJoy to testify and address charges that his controversial new policy changes are intended to deliberately slow mail-in voting. At least a half a dozen states, including Colorado, North Carolina, and Virginia, are also considering legal action against the Trump administration and the United States Postal Service to stop these changes from going into effect. The Trump administration is not backing down from their claims. Here's what the White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, on CNN said this past weekend.
Do you realize how inaccurate the voter rolls are with just people just moving around? Not let alone the people that die off, but sending ballots out just based on a voter roll registration. Anytime you move, you'll change your driver's license,
right.
But you don't call up and say, hey,
no,
by the way,
I'm re-registered. There's no evidence of widespread voter fraud, though.
There's no evidence that there's not either. That's the definition of fraud, Jake.
Study after study shows there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud, period. And also, let's be honest, when you go vote, you go sign in, you write your name. That's it.
That's all.
You literally just write your name.
Yeah.
Like, if there's going to be voter fraud, there are so many different ways you could do it. There's just not proof of it.
This is just one more attempt for him to control a situation.
And at least if it's mailed in, I feel more secure about that because there's a paper trail.
Yeah.
It's not over a computer and it's just like up in the cloud somewhere.
Oh, God. Well, we'll see how it goes. We did see a bunch of mailboxes just stacked up.
Well, the state of Wisconsin is in trouble. They're in trouble because they're traditionally a Democratic state.
Yeah.
Donald Trump won by 20-some thousand votes, I think, in 2016. And now they're run by Republicans, and they're doing all kinds of stuff to try to stop this.
Well, we're going to talk more in depth about that particular story in the next hour. But first, let's do a little weather, shall we?
Let's do it. It's going to
be 109 in Sacramento today, a high of 109, 114 in Palm Springs. Good. I said 114. Not to be confused with 118 in Palm Springs today. 118? That's insane.
That's a whole different thing.
A whole different thing. It's 114 in Vegas, and LA will be a high of 87 with New York at a high of 82.
LA feels hotter than that.
I know,
it does. Like mid-90s.
Feels really hot. No. All right, give us a vibe of the day, baby.
Those who can't change their minds can't change anything. Don't be so stubborn that you're just getting in your own way.
Yeah. Just stop it. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, we have been working so hard with Feed Our Families, and that's why we want to shine a major spotlight on Brighter Bites, a network bringing fresh food, vegetables, and fruits to homes that absolutely need them and how you can help coming up next.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Now, as you know, here at Channel Q and our entire Radio.com family, it's super important for us to give back. We've been working on an initiative here called Feed Our Families. We've been feeding local families and children going to bed hungry here in Southern California. But this is a national issue, getting food into the hands of those who need it. And oftentimes, that isn't necessarily the healthiest food. We do a lot of food drives, and I remember growing up when you give canned goods and things like
that. It's always been canned goods.
And that is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But we've got actually the senior program director of Brighter Bites, Mike Pomeroy, on the line calling us from Houston. And they're doing something a little bit different at Brighter Bites. First and foremost, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Mike.
But you guys are going a little bit further than, canned food drives. Can you tell us a little bit about Brighter Bites and what sets you guys apart?
Absolutely. We love our food banks. We work closely with our food banks, but you're right. They have a reputation for having a lot of unhealthy foods, but they're in the midst of a revolution that we're trying to help push forward of getting healthier foods out to the families in need. And so Brighter Bites works to get donated fresh fruits and vegetables, and we work to send home 20 pounds of fruits and vegetables with families in our participating schools that are all low income every week for 16 weeks throughout the school year. And it's all completely fresh fruits and vegetables. And our goal is to help get kids and families excited about eating healthy and understand that that's the way to live a healthy life.
Well, it's incredible because even as a 32-year-old woman now, I grew up super poor. And I was very thankful that like my grandma was incredible and knew how to like make foods that were good. But we also lived a little bit on fast food. And so to have now the knowledge of how important healthy food is for your brain, for growing. And you guys put so many servings of fruits and vegetables inside these bags for these families. Talk about the servings and how much the food actually, how long the food lasts.
Yeah, we send home 50 servings for families, and that's based on a formula that gives a typical family of four two servings a day for a full week, and then they can come back the next week and get another set of food. And it's about eight different varieties of fruits and vegetables, from things that we're familiar with like apples and oranges to more exciting things that we get kids interested in, like eggplant or maybe even kohlrabi.
Oh, I knew you were going to say kohlrabi. I don't know why that just came up. Because that's,
I don't even know what kohlrabi is.
Okay, so this is funny. My boyfriend and I have nicknames for each other. We always travel to Asia all the time. And I started calling him Young Wasabi years ago. And he calls me Young Kohlrabi. It's his nickname for me. It's fantastic.
Oh, adorable.
And not something that I grew up with.
Because
I grew up
eating
canned vegetables mostly.
Well, tell us about it, Mike, because I literally don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was before I became part of Brighter Bites either. It's related to the cabbage and broccoli. It's part of the same family. It's just a different way that they grow it, that it's more like a root vegetable, and it's kind of like jicama.
I love jicama.
Think of like a third cousin to like jicama and bok choy. It's kind of in that realm,
nice.
Sort of.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. These families are learning and eating so good.
Well,
now, it's important.
So is Michaela. She's learning as
clear,
well.
I'm going to the grocery store. Well, you know, we often hear that the reason why people don't eat healthy is because it's too expensive. And so what you're doing is incredible. But what if people want to donate or help with Brighter Bites to continue feeding families?
Absolutely. We have a website at brighterbites.org where you can reach out and help support our work. But I'd also just encourage you to support your local pantry, your local food bank. They're in a really crucial time right now that they're supporting people at their moment of most need. So I think even if the food is unhealthy right now, people just need something to
eat.
They
just need something to eat. That's so right. And your organization was started by two strong women, which is really fantastic. We'd love to see that female leadership. But you guys have locations all across the country, correct?
We do. We started here in Houston, but then we expanded to Dallas and Austin, and then expanded up to New York City, D.C., and we're also in the Southwest Florida region. And we're excited to be coming to California next year. We're looking
awesome.
At launching up in the Salinas Valley in January.
Well, that is fantastic. I want to know just one story, maybe a takeaway of how you've seen, you know, with your time at Brighter Bites, how healthy fruits and vegetables have changed the lives of a family.
Yeah, I think what Brighter Bites really offers families is kind of a risk-free trial. Families have limited dollars, and they know that their kid is going to eat a Happy Meal. They don't know that their kid is going to eat kohlrabi. But when Brighter Bites sends it home and teaches them how to use it, shows them some recipes for how it can be made in a kid-friendly way, then they feel empowered to use their few dollars on healthier options for their kids. And I think that's really what it's all about, educating families to do right by their kids, which is what they want to do.
So beautiful.
I think that's incredible. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. We'll make sure to put all of this information on our own website as well. If you have any questions, just go to brighterbites.com. Mike, thank you. Have a great day.
.org.
Brighterbites.org.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Mike. And thanks for teaching me about vegetables and fruits.
And while we're on the topic, I want to remind our listeners that we're doing something really fantastic here at Channel Q and radio.com. Families all over Southern California are going to bed hungry. That is not okay. So we have an initiative called Feed Our Families. All you have to do to help is text the word need to 76278 to give a buck and put food in the mouth of a hungry kid and their loved ones. Just $1 makes a huge difference. Friendly reminder, we're going to be talking about this a little bit later, but I'm going to let you know right now, Ralph's is actually matching donations all week long. So every dollar you give is going to get doubled. Learn more by heading over to wearechannelq.com for all the information.
That's amazing, AJ. Thank you so much. All right, now coming up, Olivia Munn is opening up about one of her exes who possibly was a closeted gay man. Can you relate to this story as we share the details coming up next?
Have you, Michaela Gordon, ever dated someone in the closet? Or were you in the closet and dating somebody?
I've never been in the closet. I've been always very open sexually. And I've never dated somebody in the closet. No.
No?
No. And to be honest, I'm very thankful because I do know people who have dated other people in the closet.
It's not
super
easy.
Difficult. Yeah.
I lost my virginity to somebody in the closet. And I've dated a couple people in the closet. And it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing to sort of wrap your brain around. On one hand, it can be a little bit exciting at first because you're like, ooh, we're sneaking around and that's kind of fun. But then the shame starts to set in and you start to wonder, at least for me, I started to wonder like, what are you so ashamed? How much of this is about you? Is any of it about me? Should I internalize any of this? And that's real. But everybody sort of evolves, comes out of the closet, comes into their own sexual being at different stages in their life. And that looks different for every single person. And I asked this question because Olivia Munn was just recently on a podcast with Whitney Cummings, who is hilarious, one of my favorite comics.
Love.
But she's also raunchy as all get out. Mm-hmm. And it sort of created a space for Olivia to be very open about her sexual experiences, her sexual past. But she goes on to tell a story about one guy in particular that she dated that
I feel like it might be a bit
problematic. We'll let our listeners take a listen and then we'll discuss.
Mm-hmm. He said, he's like, well, I just haven't had a lot of, experience doing it. And I was like, oh. And that's when I was also like, he may like Benton instead, That might be his kind of game instead.
No.
Right. But also, it was like every time we had sex, every time, dark, spooning from behind, every time.
Dark, emotionally dark, or it was just dark?
Well, it was a dark relationship.
Both.
But it also lights off. Lights out. It was like swooning from behind. So it's like, you don't have to see my face. You don't have to see that as a girl.
Oh, all those kind of things.
No. Yeah. And I didn't put all those pieces together until later.
Been there.
And then you're like, but I mean, first of all, I got evidence about something. Mm-hmm. And then I put the other pieces together. I was like, oh, that's what all that.
That's what that was.
She's being very forthcoming with her sexual relationship. And that's interesting because podcasts create this weird space where people feel like, oh, it's not live, it's not real, and then it exists forever.
Yeah, it does.
So half the cast of Vanderpump Rules get taken down because of podcasts.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this?
Speaking of podcasts, it's so funny. I had an amazing dinner last night with a group of my girlfriends, and we just got very candid about sex. And one of my friends wants to start a podcast, and not a podcast, a show now, where it really breaks down sex, what it's like using, maybe bringing toys in the bedroom, or maybe just doing things that your partner
would like, having
to have these conversations. Because I think we live in a time, and I think this is what Olivia Munn did, of like shaming people for not being good at sex. And like, a lot of us learned how to have sex through either sex education in high school or like porn, two things that are not helpful at all and
that's
not
true.
Realistic.
Those are very, very valid points.
And I think that, sometimes when you talk to your friends, you'll say, oh, well, how's the person, that you're dating? Oh my God, they're amazing in bed. The sex is incredible, blah, blah, blah. And then I have often felt at times like intimidated, like, oh, I guess everybody knows about sex and everyone has great sex, but I have questions.
Well, have you been with someone before that's just not good?
Yeah.
And what did you do?
I asked for what I wanted. We had a conversation, but like I wasn't upset about, like I was like, hey, like maybe we could try something else. But I feel like we get to a place where we just kind of like embarrass or shame people.
Well, do you think that's what Olivia's doing here? Do you think she's shaming her ex?
Also, I know people that have sex in the dark because they're insecure of their own bodies.
Yeah, that is very true.
It has nothing to do with them being gay.
Yeah.
Like I thought that was pretty shameful. I have been, especially early on when I started having sex, I had liked to have sex in the dark because I was like also trying to explore and navigate, and I was a little embarrassed and I kind of didn't know what I was doing. So yeah, I feel like it's just uncomfortable how she made that happen.
I prefer low lighting, maybe some candles or like a dimmer. I have a dimmer in my bedroom, so I like that. I like that scenario.
Yeah.
Because I like to see what's going on. Because I will tell you, a couple months ago I did have sex in pitch black and I ended up with an injury.
Concussion.
I had poked my head and bruised a rib, so there's that. So lights on for me. No, yeah.
Lights on.
it's tricky. It is so difficult, I think. Dating somebody in the closet or outing somebody after you dated them is also very, very problematic. It's so hard to navigate. I think that I always say this, like if you're adult enough where you're ready to have sex, that means you must also be ready to let your partner know what your needs are sexually, to let them know if they're doing something right or wrong. That means if you need to have protected sex, then that is a conversation you're ready to have. If you're not ready to have that conversation, you're probably not ready to have sex. I've always kind of felt that.
But, you know, also, I think that it's okay to not know what you like.
Sure.
And not, I think it's okay to say, hey, I don't know what it is I like, but I don't know if I like this, and I'd like to explore with you because I don't know. Because I think, too, you know, we get to a certain age, or we've been with partners for a long time, or we've been single, or we are single. There's all these things in our head. And I'll tell you, at 32, I don't think I've fully express myself sexually.
Yeah.
And some of it's because I don't know what I like or what I don't
like. I sort of feel like I'm in my sexual prime and I just turned 40.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking the same thing when I was 25. I was like, this is as good as it gets, fellas. Definitely, I can't even imagine.
Is that how you said it?
I can't imagine sleeping with a 25-year-old AJ. I probably.
That's as good as it gets. You know what? Tell our listeners, who's 25-year-old AJ?
I don't know.
Say it's as good as it gets.
Who was he? He was as good as it got. All right, we got some fantastic audio for this What's Poppin'. It involves somebody you might not expect talking to somebody else you might not expect.
Listen,
it's Cardi B and Joe Biden. We're going to talk about it in just a second. Michaela Gordon, you're going to have that story for us. But first, right now, children and their families all over Southern California are going to bed hungry, and that is not acceptable. We are Americans. We are better than that. So Channel Q and Radio.com have a super easy way for you to help feed local families and their children in need. Text the word NEED to 76278. That is NEED to 76278 to give a buck and put food in the mouth of a hungry kid and their loved ones. Just $1 makes a huge difference. We're going to actually head down there tomorrow. Michaela, Justin, and I are. And we're going to feed some families. We're going to put it on We Are Channel Q's Instagram as well as our own Instagram. So make sure you're following all of us there. To learn more about how you can help, head over to wearechannelq.com. Now, we have an exciting opportunity coming up later in the show, too. There's a price match going on all week long.
This is incredible.
We're
going
to tell you about
something.
That in Life Goes On.
You often want to know what bigger businesses are doing to really, really help and get their hands all the way involved with networks and charities. And it's so exciting that we've been interviewing companies that are doing price matching.
Yeah, they're doing
That's
something
big.
Such
a big deal.
Yeah, so your dollars get doubled. So make sure you head over to wearechannelq.com. Now, for What's Poppin', I'm going to tee it up with this a little bit of audio from the future president of the United States. Fingers crossed. Take a listen.
Well, it doesn't have to happen. For example, in 2016, if 18 to 23 or 4-year-olds have voted in the same percentage as the rest of the population, we would have had Hillary Clinton, not him. The vote matters. That's why you keep talking to people about the need to vote. The vote matters. It matters a great deal.
The vote matters. And you'll never believe who sat down with Joe Biden to have that conversation, but our very own Cardi B. She's taken such a stand in politics. We saw her with Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for being as wild as she is, she just came out with that song WAP that we literally cannot say any of the lyrics to because it's so filthy. To see her still trying to influence this generation to vote and get out there is incredible.
Yeah, she's on the cover of Elle magazine, so she sat down
with
him for that. Yeah.
And so she talks to Joe Biden not only about raising her child, but what she looks for in a president. We have that audio. Let's take a listen.
And what I wanted to know was, tell me what's your main interest in terms of this election?
I have a whole list of things that I want and I wish and I desire for our next president to do for us. But first thing first, let me keep it a buck. I just want Trump out.
Listen.
Is that clear?
First things first. That is what everybody wants. I'm going to say this just for devil's advocate. I wasn't gagged about Joe Biden, and I still have my feelings on him.
No, I mean, nobody
him.
Is.
You know, and
Jill
I, and
Biden
I,
is probably, his wife is probably the only person gagged about Joe Biden.
Yeah, yeah. But I will say that it is important to get to the voting polls and really make your voice count. And what I do like to see, you actually made this point during the break, and I'm going to steal it from you. I think what we've learned with Donald Trump being president, the blessing of it all was you can't be asleep anymore. You can't sleepwalk anymore. If you want to make a difference and you want to make a change, I mean, it goes back to the conversation even that we had with Sammy Garrett-Pate about the census and how important it is to fill it out. I mean, things that I didn't even know.
Real talk, here's the lie that we've been fed for a long time. Our lives are dictated by who's in the White House. It's not true.
No.
That's a small piece of the very complex puzzle. And getting involved in local politics, local organizations, grassroots efforts to do things for your own communities, that's important. Because she actually talks about that. Cardi B, in the same interview, talks about the fact that when she was a kid, there were after-school programs for her. And now they're gone from her communities, completely gone. And Joe Biden says it's because people have given a bad rap to government as a whole. Government should be involved in your lives when they need to be. Not everybody's lives. They shouldn't dictate your lives, but they should be there to provide programs. But people don't want to pay the taxes for those things.
Yeah.
We'd rather spend all of our money on our military
and
on funding the police and giving our police officers tanks instead of focusing in on the children who are going to be running this country in 10, 20, 30 years from now.
Yeah.
So why not invest in that?
You're right.
Doesn't make sense
to me.
Right. But she takes up the task, though.
She does.
Kudos to Joe Biden, though, for sitting down with Cardi B, because that could have gone left so many ways.
And she's like still feeling, you know, her and Meg Thee Stallion are already at gold status for their single. And, you know, she's a powerhouse and
she could easily just coast and not even get involved in any of this.
She really, really could. And, you know, it's funny because there's a photo of J-Lo right in front of me, which is why I would think of it. But there have been celebrities who have been around for years and years that have not taken the political stand that Cardi B has.
Yeah.
Even as a woman of color. And I'm not dragging J-Lo. I'm not
Cardi
dragging anybody.
Cardi B, Taylor Swift. A few of them are doing it
right
now.
They're really doing it. And it's really
even
nice to see.
Dolly Parton coming out saying, of course,
Dolly.
Black lives matter.
Yeah. Do we think our little white asses are the only ones that matter?
No. We do not, Dolly.
No, we don't, Dolly. I love that. All right, you guys. Well, that was a great What's Poppin' for me. But coming up next, speaking of politics, an attack on the post office. What we saw this weekend was...
Jaw on the floor.
Jaw on the floor is the best way to explain it. We'll have all the details coming up next.
Coming up this hour on The Morning Beat, we've got... an attack on the post office happening before our very eyes. My jaw was on the floor this weekend as I saw the photos coming out of Wisconsin. They're just collecting the mailboxes. The sorters are being shut down. We're going to dive into this story in about 15 minutes from right now. Everything you need to know to make sure your vote is counted this fall. We're going to go in. And then we've got Samuel Garrett-Pate, our political expert, breaking down day one of the Democratic National Convention. Starts today virtually. All over the country, from Delaware to Los Angeles to, I believe, New York. Maybe is it Milwaukee, Wisconsin as well? It's all over the place, but it's really happening virtually. So he's got everything you need to know for day one. It's a shortened schedule this year, which is exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
It's just too long.
Listen, I want to tell you, I find myself wanting to be involved sometimes, but it's just so long, and having just 2 hours a day, I think, really just cuts the fat and gives you what you need, and like, we're moving on.
Amen. I agree. Michaela Gordon, though, what do you have? Speaking of voting and the U.S. Postal Service, what do you have for us in News on the Beat?
Well, Democrats and several state leaders are pushing back on what they see as the Trump administration's attempt to throttle the U.S. Postal Service to influence the upcoming presidential election. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is calling on the House to return to Washington, likely next weekend, for an unheard of session during presidential convention season to address the concerns. Democrats also want the new Postmaster General Louis DeJoy to testify and address charges that his controversial new policy changes are intended to deliberately slow mail-in voting. At least a half a dozen states, including Colorado, North Carolina, and Virginia, are also considering legal action against the Trump administration and the United States Postal Service to stop these changes from going into effect. The Trump administration is not backing down from their claims. Here's White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows on CNN this past weekend.
Do you realize how inaccurate the voter rolls are with just people just moving around, not let alone the people that die off, but sending ballots out just based on a voter roll registration? Anytime you move, you'll change your driver's license,
but
you don't call up and say, hey,
no,
by the way,
I'm re-registered. There's no evidence of widespread voter fraud, though. But there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
There's no evidence that there's not either. That's the definition of fraud, Jake.
That's the argument. There's no definition that there's not either. And also, these Republican talking points, you're speaking about human lives. The people that died off, it's like the president saying we're approaching 170,000 deaths due to COVID-19 here in America alone. Worst hit nation in the entire world. And the president's response, it is what it is. Like, there's got to be a little bit more compassion somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't be a political thing. Human lives should matter to everyone.
Of course.
Not it is what it is or the ones who died off. Like, that's not how you... Those who've passed. There's an appropriate way to talk about human life. It's just wild to me. I can't.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
All right. In other news, on Sunday, the thermometer at Death Valley's Furnace Creek, located in the deserts of Southern California, soared to 130 degrees Fahrenheit. If verified, it would be the hottest temperature recorded in the U.S. since 1913 and perhaps the hottest temperature ever reliably recorded in the world. The highest temperature ever recorded on Earth was also observed in Death Valley, 134 degrees in Fahrenheit in 1913. However, many experts contend the temperature reading, along with various other temperatures recorded that summer, was likely an observer error. Now, because of these discrepancies, experts say the hottest temperature ever reliably recorded on Earth is 129.2 degrees from 2013 in Death Valley. That is, until now, the historic reading is just a small part of a massive, intense, and long-lasting heat dome smothering the West Coast that will continue to get worse through Tuesday.
Oh, I felt that heat dome all weekend. Ugh.
Listen to me. It's supposed to be, well, we're going to do the weather right now. Actually, it's a perfect timing. Let me
what is the weather? We rode around on those motorized bikes wheels yesterday,
yeah.
And the breeze felt so good. Oh, but yeah. The moment we stopped, just the sweat started.
Okay, well, you don't want to find yourself in Vegas because it's 114 today.
No, thanks.
If you're in Palm Springs, a high of 118. I'm telling you, when I was in Vegas this weekend, it was 114. And I was like, the anger that you feel from being hot is so real.
Oh, my partner and I almost fought all the time yesterday.
Oh, you fight? You're not hungry because it's so hot, but you're actually starving, so you're malnourished. You can't get enough water inside your body.
If I heard, "Don't touch me, I'm hot," one more time yesterday, and I'm a touchy-feely guy.
All right, well, listen, it's hot. That's the weather. 134, maybe.
The weather, it's hot.
Now give us a vibe of the day.
Those who can't change their minds can't change anything. But listen, even if you can't change your mind, you can change the life of somebody in need right now, because children and their families all over Southern California are going to bed hungry. That is not okay. So Channel Q and Radio.com have an easy way for you to help feed local students and their families. All you have to do is grab your phone, text the word NEED to 76278 to give a buck and put food in the mouth of a hungry kid and their loved ones. Just $1 makes a huge difference. Head over to WeAreChannelQ.com for more details, or stick around at the end of the hour and Life Goes On. We're speaking to somebody who's doing something really, really cool. They're matching donations all week long, up to $50,000. We'll tell you who that is. Stick around. We're the new Channel Q.
I love it.
As we inch closer and closer to the November 3rd election, and we continue to hear this debate on whether or not mail-in voting is safe, if it's even legal, if it's something we should be looking at during a pandemic or not. You know, the President Donald Trump has floated the idea of delaying the election. That can't happen. It's not constitutionally legal. But that doesn't mean he won't try to do other things to shut down voting here in our country. This was him on Fox Business just the other day talking about funding the Postal Service and why he doesn't want to do it.
They want $25 billion for the post office. Now, they need that money in order to have the post office work so it can take all of these millions and millions of ballots. Now, in the meantime, they aren't getting there. By the way, those are just two items. But if they don't get those two items, that means you can't have universal mail-in voting because they're not equipped to have it.
Okay, so just to paint the picture for you, back in June, Louis DeJoy, he's a Republican donor, long-term donor and friend of Donald Trump's, he was put in office as the Postmaster General. This is generally not a political position at all. Mm-hmm. The U.S. Postal Service is bipartisan, always has been.
I don't even know why it would be.
Well,
it doesn't make sense.
We're in a pandemic, and vote by mail is an issue that while the president and his wife do vote by mail, they just requested their ballots from Florida. Apparently, it's not safe in Democratic-run states, which is just a huge red flag. yeah, in and of itself.
But, you know, it's just so unfair. I was thinking, you know, I know that this generation has, like, texting and we can call each other on the phone. But I did a job a few weeks ago and this woman that booked me for it, I said, yeah, I got to send you the, you know, your cut, whatever. Can I just, like, Venmo you, whatever? And she goes, no, just if you could just do it traditionally by mail, send a check to me. And I was like, whoa, okay.
My uncle's like that.
But there are so many people that are still like that.
Yes.
Although we have more digital things, people still rely on the Postal Service for cards, for checks, for money. And now to not allow older people, if Vivian Cavaricci were still alive,
oh, yeah,
Vivian would have voted through mail.
My parents still pay all of their bills with checks.
They
only
do?
They send them in. They have them listed throughout the month. They have their days where they mark on them when they send them in. They pay everything. I pay with the touch of my thumb. At the end of the day, they might be the ones laughing because all my information could be stolen. I could be out everything.
Exactly.
Well, to your point, though, Carolyn Maloney, she's a congresswoman from New York. She talks about how this could disenfranchise older people especially.
These changes won't just disenfranchise voters. It will hurt our seniors, our veterans, others that depend on their medications by mail, their packages, other deliveries.
Now, I know there are a lot of photos going around this weekend on social media. You're seeing locked mailboxes all over the place, the red locks and the padlocks on the front. And there's a lot of misinformation going around. So just to be clear, many post offices do that and have been doing that for quite some time to protect on the weekends, especially on Sundays, people from stealing. Because you know how you can open the box and you can't actually get in and steal mail if you need to. There is still a slot on the back of those mailboxes, so you still can mail on Sundays. It won't get picked up until Monday, obviously. But just to clarify that that is not what's happening. However, across the country, in Wisconsin, we saw over the weekend, piles and piles of mailboxes being taken off the streets and just put in storage, and people can't even use them anymore.
Listen, I was with my Trump, who calls in often, John DiDomenico. We were filming Trump and Melania this weekend, and he goes, do you want to do a skit where we're taking the mailboxes off of the sidewalk? And I go, that's so stupid. That's so clever. Why would we do that? That's funny. And he goes, no, that's like really what's happening.
That's what's going on.
And I was like, wait. You know, because we often brainstorm skits that are like so ridiculous,
yeah,
that will poke fun. I was like, we're now at a place where skits are actually real life.
Well, you got to think, though, too. We're on the pulse, you know, on the beat of what's going on in their country every single day. It's our job to know. And this is still kind of new to us. We've been paying attention. I've been aware of this for a few weeks. I've been aware that this could potentially happen. But up until this weekend, it really like hit the fan. Most people aren't paying attention. Most people are still enjoying their last days of summer, getting ready to send their kids back to school, while the president is appointing a buddy of his who has no business being the postmaster general at all, like many of the appointees that he has across the country, across the board. And now they're doing this. They've taken a lot of these these quick sorters to sort the mail. And the post office is saying, listen, we can't guarantee that you're going to be able to get your ballot counted if you get it. They're saying you need to get your ballot in weeks in advance now.
That's a play, too. How are you going to be like, okay, if you're going to do it, you have to
They're not funded right
now. You can't.
And also, just to clarify, though, the U.S. Postal Service is not a business. It's part of the U.S. government.
Yeah.
They employ 500,000 Americans. It is a government service that is provided to us. It's not a business. This is not Trump Tower. And he's saying they're asking for $25 billion. They're actually asking for $10 billion.
Yeah.
They just need money to keep going.
It's not to benefit them. It's to make sure that we can still be able to do the things that we need to do.
So stay informed. If you can vote early, go vote early in person if you can. If you get your ballot in the mail in early October, send it in.
Yeah.
If you don't know who you're voting for by this point, you've been living under a rock.
Yeah.
Like whoever it is you're voting for, you made that choice.
Well, if you don't know who you're voting for, we'll make it very clear for you, because our political expert, Sam McGrath-Pate, is joining us next to talk about the premiere of the DNC, what you need to know, why it's only 2 hours long, and why that's actually beneficial coming up next.
We're shaking things up a bit today. We have a couple of really inspirational stories and life goes on for you. Then we're going to speak with a human being who's very inspirational and doing something really awesome that you can be a part of. So make sure you stick around for that. First up, we're taking you to Brazil and a little dog by the name of Tucson. He has been wandering around for months, apparently, at a Hyundai dealership, a car dealership in Brazil. And he's there so often that during one night, during a particularly bad storm, One of the employees at the dealership decided to give him shelter. He's the manager there. His name is Emerson Mariano. He sheltered the dog. They eventually adopted him. He now works at the Hyundai car dealership. He's got a badge. He's got a headset.
Not a badge.
He's taking phone calls.
Oh, dog.
He's typing stuff in the computer, maybe or maybe not. He greets people who get new cars there. And also, people fall
That's
in love with him so much
sweet.
That they often come back after they get a car just to visit him and bring him gifts. And to take it one step further, he's actually getting ready to star in a series of commercials for Hyundai.
Oh, God. Stop.
How cute is this little dog?
This is like also kind of advice for me. I should have been hanging around car dealerships. Maybe I would have found my fame sooner. You're already getting commercial deals.
You're not a dog, and this is not about you, Michaela Gordon.
But
you could take Rocco to a car dealership.
My God, Rocco would steal my shine.
Well, this
I would never be a star.
This dog is absolutely a star.
No, that is so sweet.
Isn't that just the most adorable thing ever?
All right, well, I think this story is really sweet. A group of high school football players helped a man in a wheelchair reach the summit of California's Mission Peak. It was a big deal for this guy. They met a stranger in need who needed a little boost. He was struggling to ascend the last stretch of the peak. And so the high schoolers did what they did best, and they teamed up and they got him on top of the mountain. And there's the photographs that are so sweet. And I love that. I mean, really, this is the whole point of Life Goes On. We like to hear these sweet stories.
You know, Michaela Gordon, I always say this. Teamwork makes the dream work.
It sure does.
Just like those young high schoolers banded together to help somebody in need, we're doing something really fantastic here at Channel Q to help others in need as well. You know, students and their families are going to bed hungry all over Southern California. So we've been doing our Feed Our Families initiative. We're actually going to head down there tomorrow and feed some local families. You, myself, and our producer, Justin, are going to do that. If you want to know how to give back, head over to wearechannelq.com or grab your phone right now. Text the word need to 76278. And for this week and this week only, we're doing something that's super, super special. We're actually teaming up with Ralph's grocery stores across the country, very popular here in Southern California. And on the line right now, we have John Votava. He's the Director of Community Affairs at Ralph's. So why don't you tell us a little bit about this program and what you guys are doing to help feed our families?
Sure. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Ralph's and Food for Less. We heard about the Feed Our Families campaign that Radio.com is putting on right now, and we thought we have to be a part of this because it's a perfect tie-in with our Zero Hunger, Zero Waste initiative, where we're working to end hunger in our communities and eliminate waste within our company by the year 2025. So we've put up $50,000 as a match through this Friday. So we will match dollar for dollar every donation that comes into the campaign.
Oh, wow.
That's incredible. I mean, it's crazy to think, we were just saying this, that there could be children going around the U.S. just not being fed and being hungry. Have you heard a personal story that really kind of affected you since Ralph's has been doing this this match or just being involved with Feed Our Families?
Well, when we heard that 80% of Los Angeles Unified students are from families that are living in poverty, we knew that the need was crucial.
80%.
80%. Yeah. It's mind-boggling that, you know, we've probably experienced hunger when we were studying and going through school, but to have that as a persistent, you know, need and feeling constantly, that's unacceptable to Ralph's and Food for Less. And we are so grateful that Radio.com is doing something about this with the Feed Our Families campaign. And so that's why we knew that we had to be a part of it, to be part of the solution.
Well, I'll be honest with you, John. I'd probably go into a Ralph's location at least once a day. I have two stores that are equal distance from my home, and I go to both of them all the time. So it makes me feel good to know that some of the money I'm spending at Ralph's is actually going back to help those in need right now. We appreciate you. We're heading down there, actually. Michaela and I are going to be heading to a location here in Los Angeles tomorrow morning to feed our families. So we appreciate everything you're doing. For all of our listeners, make sure you head over to wearechannelq.com. Like we said, John Votava from Ralph's is on the line with us right now, and they're actually going to match this entire week all donations up to $50,000, which is pretty incredible.
It's so great. John, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you. And just remember, text NEED, N-E-E-D, to 76278.
76278.
Who needs us? He's doing our job for us. I love this guy.
Director of Community Affairs at Ralph's. We appreciate you. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks,
I mean, he's really a pro.
Such a pro. So amazing. Well, that's the end of our show. We're so excited to start this Monday with such good vibes. And really thank you again to John and everybody at Ralph's.
Samuel Garrett-Pate for joining
Samuel
us as Garrett-Pate.
Well. Samuel Garrett-Pate. We have a great show for you tomorrow as well. Also, we'll continue talking about the DNC. We have special guests all this week. Make sure that you wash your hands, wear your masks, tell your loved ones that you love them, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.